भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 एंटाइटल्ड नारद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स द प्रचेतास टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 तम आगतम तम आगतम त उत्थाय प्रणिप्रत्याभिनंद्य च पूजयित्वा यथा देशम् सुखासीनम् अथा ब्रुवन् एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद. As soon as the Prachetas saw that the great sage Narad had appeared, they immediately got up even from their asanas. As required, they immediately offered obeisances and worshipped him. And when they saw that Narad Muni was properly seated, they began to ask him questions. Purport. It is significant that all the Prachetas were engaged in practicing yoga to concentrate their minds on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as the Prachetas saw that the great sage Narad had appeared, they immediately got up, even from their asanas. As required, they immediately offered obeisances and worshipped him. And when they saw that Narad Muni was properly seated, they began to ask him questions. In this particular episode, the Prachetas, they are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead of one of his very unique features. In their prayers unto the Supreme Lord, they address the Supreme Lord as Adrishta Para Apiyan Mahimna, in which they say that you are that Supreme Lord whose glories are so inconceivable that even great personalities, Mahimna, like Swayambhuva Manu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even they cannot comprehend. And we see that in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular feature of the Supreme Lord has been analyzed, that how the Supreme Lord is inconceivable. Srila Prabhupada, in this particular section, in some series of verses, he gives some reasons as to why the Supreme Lord has got this inconceivable nature, why he is incomprehensible. The first reason he says is because the Supreme Lord has unlimited qualities. In another beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this feature of the Lord has been also explained. Yova anantasya gunan anantan anukramishan satubala buddhi rajamsi bhumed ganayet kathanchit kale na naiva akhila shakti dhamna. It is explained, Yova anantasya gunan anantan. How many qualities the Supreme Lord possesses? Anantan, unlimited. And if someone thinks that let me try to count how many qualities the Supreme Lord has, anukramishyan satu bala buddhi, then he is of bal buddhi. He is foolish, he is childish. In fact, in this verse, it is explained that just like on the surface of this planet Earth, there are unlimited dust particles. Rajamsi bhumet ganayet kathanchit. Similarly, the Supreme Lord has got unlimited qualities. In fact, even if in due course of time, if somebody is able to count all the dust particles on the surface of the planet Earth, say if that happens, if our expert scientists, if they are able to count all the dust particles available on the planet Earth, even if that takes place, but still the qualities of the Supreme Lord will remain countless beyond that. So this is one reason why the Supreme Lord is incomprehensible, inconceivable, because He has unlimited qualities, ananta guna. Secondly, each of those unlimited qualities are not limited. In numerical sense, the qualities are unlimited, and each of those qualities are ever expanding. Just like, say for example, Krishna's beauty. If we say right now, Krishna is looking as beautiful as a lotus flower, that very moment Krishna's beauty has increased. Which means, we can never comprehend as to how much beauty Krishna possesses. This is just one quality we are taking. To make us understand, let's take this example. Just like right now, if somebody asks us, what is the exact time? We can say, it is 19 past 8, 53 seconds. Now it is 54. As soon as I have said that, the time has changed. Which means, at no given time, I can give the right time to anyone. Because I need some time to speak that time. And by the time I speak about the right time has passed. It has jumped over the next second. So similarly, if at the present moment we speak of the glories of the Supreme Lord, saying that He is beautiful or He is wealthy or He is powerful, that very moment His quality or that particular feature has increased. So this is the second reason. Though He has got unlimited qualities, each of those unlimited qualities is ever expanding. And thirdly, some of those qualities sometimes contradict each other. This is another reason why it becomes difficult to comprehend the Supreme Lord. Just like anyone of this world, if he is wealthy, he cannot be poor. If he is beautiful, he cannot be ugly. If he is powerful, he cannot be weak. But of course, we are not trying to address in a negative sense that the Supreme Lord has got these negative qualities also along with the positive. But, of course, we read in the Ishopanishad how the Supreme Lord is inside and outside. He is walking, though He is at one place. Another beautiful verse from the fourth canto, in which Swayambhu Manu, when he is addressing to Dhruva Maharaj, he is glorifying this feature, this contradictory feature of the Supreme Lord. He says, So anantananta karakala nadiradi krit avyaya janam janena janayan marayan mrityu nantakam. He says, So ananta anta karakala. Though the Supreme Lord is infinite and eternal, But he is the one, in his time feature, in this world, he makes everything finite and temporary. So, ananta nant kara kala. Though he is infinite and he is eternal, because of his time factor, in this world we see everything is finite and temporary. Then it is said, anadir adir krit avyaya. Though he is anadi, though he is without a beginning, he is the beginning of everything. Then Swayam Bhuva Manu says, janam janena janayan marayan mrityunantakam. Though he is the one who gives birth, janam, to everything of this world, yet he is the one who is the cause of everyone's death. Marayan mrityunantakam. So we see that because of this one reason also, the Supreme Lord becomes inconceivable for us to understand. Just like in the past times of Lord Krishna, when he appeared in Dwapar Yuga, we see he performed innumerable pastimes. And some of the pastimes also exhibit this feature of the Lord. He stole the clothes of the gopis, yet he supplied unlimited clothes to Draupadi. He drank poison from the body of Putana, but gave immortality to Putana. In that particular episode, it is explained by Shukadeva Goswami in a beautiful poetic composition, in one sense, saying that when Putana came to kill Krishna, she was seeing Krishna as an ordinary child, and she thought that she can have Krishna on her lap and she can do whatever she wants. So Shukadeva Goswami explains in this verse, anantam aropayat ankam antakam. Beautiful words he used. That Putana, she took Krishna, who is anantam, aropayat ankam, she put that ananta on her anka. Anka means lap. Not knowing that this anantam on her anka will become her antakam. So Krishna, who drank poison from Putana, gave her immortality. The same Krishna who couldn't hold some grains on his palm when the fruit vendor came, he was the one who lifted the Govardhan hill for 7 days and seven nights. So we see all these different apparent contradictions exist on the personality of Godhead. And the last reason Srila Prabhupada gives is that we are born in ignorance. Abodh jata. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Each of His qualities are ever expanding. Some of those qualities are contradicting. And then we are born in ignorance. So therefore, it becomes adrishya para apiyan mahimna. It becomes very difficult to conceive the feature or the features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same holds true with the devotees of the Supreme Lord also. This particular statement, adrishta para apiyan mahimna, is used for the devotees also, whose qualities are sometimes not very easy to understand. And also we know that famous verse, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyehana Bhujai. That many times the activities of a pure devotee is incomprehensible. And herein we see two such personalities. Narad Muni and the Prachetas. Now the Prachetas who offered such beautiful prayers unto the Supreme Lord in the previous chapter, immediately after offering prayers, when they came out from the waters, from the same mouth they started to emit fire to burn the trees. That very mouth which was used to glorify the Supreme Lord was then emitting fire to burn all the trees which had grown so tall. And now the same Prachetas, they are welcoming Narad Muni with so much of awe and reverence. So is it that the Prachetas, they are having some kind of split personality, that they behave with someone in a different way and with some other person who is very favorable to them in a very cordial way? In fact, for a pure devotee, whether from his mouth kind words emits out, whether fiery words or whether literally fire comes out, because a pure devotee doesn't have a personal agenda to fulfill, it is nothing but pure compassion. And also we see Narad Muni over here. As soon as Narad Muni has arrived on the scene, the Prachetas, they are getting up from their asanas and they are properly receiving him. And in the 10th canto we see the same Narad Muni, when he came in front of the two sons of Kuvera, Nallakuvar and Manigreve, they didn't get up, they didn't come out from the waters, and Narad Muni became in one sense so angry that he cursed them. In fact, we can say that, you know, the curse which was given to these twin sons of Kuvera was like fire emitting out from Narad Muni's mouth. But actually, when we see deeply into the kind of curse, or we can say it was a supreme benediction given to these two sons of Kuvera, we can understand that again, it was just pure compassion of Narad Muni upon these two souls. In the 10th canto, it is explained that these two sons of Kuvera, first of all, being the sons of Kuvera, who is a Mahabhagavat explained in the 4th canto, when Kuvera appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj, who was then killing the Yakshas, Kuvera, he benedicted Dhruva Maharaj with pure devotional service. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that only that person can benedict someone with pure devotional service, one who possesses that. So because Kuvera is a pure devotee and is situated in pure devotional service, is therefore able to offer pure devotional service to Dhruva Maharaj. So in that sense, then Kuvera is a pure devotee, he is a Mahabhagavat. And these two sons, they were the direct sons of Kuvera, Nallakuvar and Manigreve. And not just that, they were actually residing in Kailash Dham, in the abode of Lord Shiva. And it is explained that they were the direct associates of Lord Shiva, Rudrasya Anucharav. They were the direct associates, intimate associates of Lord Shiva. So we can understand that gravity of some offense can be seen according to the position of the offender. Like Prabhupada gives that example, if an ordinary person steals something, definitely he is to be punished. But if the policeman steals, then it is the more grave offense. So over here, the two sons, they were the sons of Kuvera, they were residing in Kailash Dham, they were the intimate associates of Lord Shiva. And then what was their offense? In Kailash Dham, they were heavily drunk with intense liquors all the time. That was the first offense. And the second, instead of associating with the rishis over there and Lord Shiva over there, they were associating with the society girls over there. That was the second offense. And the third, instead of chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord along with those society girls, they were singing mundane songs. And the fourth offense, that they entered into Mandakini Ganga completely naked. When people enter into the Ganges to purify their mind, body and soul, they entered the Mandakini Ganga singing all those songs, intoxicated with those heavy liquors, along with the society girls, stark naked, to putrefy their mind, body and soul. Now of course all of this would be pardonable, but when Narad Muni appeared on the scene, they didn't even care to come out and to pay respect and to acknowledge the presence of Narad Muni. So that was the worst offense of all. So over here we see the gravity of the offense committed by these twin sons of Kuvera. And then if we try to analyze what was the benediction, it was not just a curse, it was actually a benediction given by Narad Muni unto these two living entities. Narad Muni first told them to become trees. Now, anyways, because of their being naked, roaming around naked, according to their regular karma, they would be becoming trees in their next life. But Narad Muni intervened and made them trees, not just at some ordinary place, in Brajamandal. And not just anywhere in Brajamandal, but in Gokul Mahavan, and even in Gokul Mahavan, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So they were not ordinary trees taking birth anywhere into this material world. They became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. That was the first anugraha. Shukadeva Goswami explains that this was actually the anugraha of Narad Muni. When Narad Muni saw these two sons of Kuvera, that he wanted to show some compassion upon them. Tau drishta madira mattau tayor anugrahaarthaya. That when he saw them so much drunk and so much intoxicated because of their high birth, so out of anugraha, Narad Muni is speaking like this, that you first become trees. Now we see Uddhav and Lord Brahma, they want to become blades of grass just on the outskirts of Vrindavan. So what was the fortune of Manigriv and Nalakuvar? That they were not just blades of grass, but they became huge twin Arjuna trees. And within the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, not somewhere outskirts of Vrindavan, but within the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So that was the first anugraha done by Narad Muni. Now as trees, we understand that they are in the deepest modes of ignorance. But then Narad Muni, along with that tree life, tree body, gave them remembrance of what offense they committed. Smriti Syan. So because they got the remembrance of what offense they committed, so before Krishna would appear, they, in the fire of repentance of that offense which they committed, they purified themselves before they could witness the divine pastimes of Lord Krishna. So that was the second mercy of Narad Muni upon them, that Narad Muni gave them the memory of their offense, Smriti Syan, so that they could purify themselves in the fire of repentance. That was the second anugraha. And thirdly, Narad Muni speaks, Vasudeva Sanidhyam. that after repenting fully, then you will get close association of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what they got. Lord Krishna performed so many pastimes in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And we know that famous pastime of Damodar Leela. Now even the demons, they got close association of Krishna. Trinavarta got very close association of Krishna. But he didn't develop pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. So the ultimate anugraha of Narad Muni upon these two sons of Kuvera was Labdha Bhakti Bhavishyataha. That along with that Vasudev Sanidhyam, along with that Smriti Syan and taking birth as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, Narad Muni benedicted them that you will revive your loving devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Labdha Bhakti Bhavishyataha. That was the supreme benediction actually. So we see that as far as Narad Muni is concerned, Narad Muni, wherever he goes, as in the previous verse it is mentioned in the purport, that devotees like Narad Muni are fully independent and they are completely unbiased. That whatever they do, because they are so much dependent on the Supreme Lord, so they can fearlessly roam anywhere, and because they don't have any malice in their heart, because they are not biased to anyone, therefore they can benedict anyone with the supreme benediction. And in Narasimha Purana it is explained that one time Narad Muni, he arrived in the palace of Hiranyakashipu. This was before Hiranyakashipu went to perform his tapasya. So as Narad Muni was entering into the palace very fearlessly, as mentioned over here, fully independent and unbiased, so he was chanting the names of Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu, he immediately tried to stop Narad Muni, that if you want to enter into my palace, stop chanting those names, otherwise I will kill you right there. So Narad Muni said, maybe you should try out. And then Hiranyakashipu became so angry, he took out his famous Chandrahasa sword. It is explained this particular sword, when Hiranyakashipu would throw, it would cut the other person into pieces and would go and wash itself in some body of water and come back, return into the sheath of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu took out this Chandrahasa sword and threw at Narad Muni. And this sword, it just passed through the body of Narad Muni. Narad Muni was completely unharmed, nothing happened to him. And the sword just revolved around and entered back into the sheath of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu was totally surprised and taken aback that for the first time my famous sword, this Chandrahasa, it couldn't harm this person. So he was a little sobered down, and then he asked Narad Muni that how did you get this special body, that my sword, as if your body was invisible, my sword passed through your body and nothing happened to your body. And Narad Muni said, because I am chanting these names, this is why I have got this special body. Would you also want to have such kind of body? So you also start chanting these names. So Hiranyakashipu, he said, of course I can't do that, but is there any other process by which I can get this kind of body? So then Narad Muni said, well, by performing some Ashtanga Yoga, by performing some tapasya, you can get something close to this. Not exactly something like this, but something close to this. And that was when Hiranyakashipu, he went to perform his tapasya. So we see in the personality of Narad Muni and Prachetas, that whatever they do, they are doing because they have that pure love for the Supreme Lord because they have that genuine compassion for the conditioned living entity. And therefore, we cannot say that what Narad Muni, you know, did to the Prachetas as he will be instructing the Prachetas, and what Narad Muni did to Nalakuvar and Manigriv appears that he is biased. That because he was not properly respected, so he felt offended and therefore he cursed them. Of course, we understood it was not a curse. In fact, those ladies who came out were not so fortunate as these two sons of Kuvera, that they got the supreme benediction to take birth in Vrindavan. So definitely Narad Muni was not a person who got affected because somebody respected him, somebody insulted him. It was actually the quality of a preacher which Narad Muni exhibited, that for himself a preacher will take all atrocities, but for the sake of delivering the conditioned souls, the preacher can take any risk. And therefore, in that sense, over here Srila Prabhupada explains that devotees like Narad Muni are fully independent and unbiased. And we see, of course, in the life of Srila Prabhupada also, that Srila Prabhupada, so many times, with the same mouth, he would be speaking such kind words to so many of his dear disciples, and many times he would be so heavy, like fire emitting out from his mouth, when sometimes some of his disciples would not behave properly or would not follow his instructions. But again, the heart of such a pure devotee is always brimming with pure devotion and compassion. Like one time in Amsterdam, we know this famous story when Srila Prabhupada was there during the installation ceremony of Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra deities. The whole festival actually turned into a fiasco. The altar was not properly done, the deities were not properly placed, the yajna paraphernalia was not there. Srila Prabhupada asked for some fruits, and one devotee thought, he didn't understand that why yajna needs some fruits. So he thought maybe Prabhupada might need some fruits. So he cut some fruits and made it into a fruit salad and brought it for Prabhupada. Prabhupada became all the more angry. Then Prabhupada, he was so angry, he was looking like a roaring angry lion sitting in. It's explained devotees, they couldn't even look at Prabhupada. That time there was a hippie sitting close to Prabhupada, just started to come to that particular temple of Amsterdam, and he was sitting close to Prabhupada, and everyone was feeling that intense anger of Prabhupada. It was permeating everywhere. So this hippie, he looked at Prabhupada and came close to Prabhupada and said, "Chant Hare Krishna and be happy." And all the other devotees, when they heard that, when they saw this hippie saying that, they understood maybe this is his last day of his life. And Prabhupada, with such utter humility, he took his beads. Prabhupada didn't have beads in his hands. He took the beads of this hippie and started chanting on that, showing that yes, what you are saying, I am following it. And devotees, they felt so much disgusted with this person. And of course, all that was happening, they were feeling so guilty about all that. So Prabhupada, after the festival, immediately wanted to leave. But they had prepared a big feast for him. So the servant, he came to Prabhupada saying, "Prabhupada, they have made a big feast." Prabhupada said, bring it in my room. I won't be taking over here." Immediately Prabhupada sat in the car to go to his place of residence. And the servant, he made a plate and he was running to get in with Srila Prabhupada so that immediately he can serve Srila Prabhupada. So as he was running, he tripped and that plate of prasad fell on the ground. And he was thinking what to do. Should I go with Prabhupada or should I get or make another plate? So he told another devotee to make a plate and he immediately sat with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked, "Where is the prasad?" So he just fumbled and said, Prabhupada, I was running with that prasad and I tripped and prasad fell. Prabhupada said, go and pick it up. I'll take that. So he was feeling so much guilty. He did that. Of course, he brought fresh prasad also. And then, it was the time when Prabhupada was about to take his rest. The devotee was supposed to massage Srila Prabhupada. Every day he would be massaging Srila Prabhupada before Prabhupada would take rest. Now that was his turn to enter into Prabhupada's room to do that massage. So devotees were saying, you have to go inside and do your massage to Prabhupada. And he was feeling as if, you know, he's going to enter into some lion's den. So he just slowly opened the door and peeped in. And he was surprised to see that Prabhupada was on his bed and he was holding his knees. He had locked his knees in his arms like a small child and he was rocking back and forth on the bed, chanting Jai Gaur Nitai, Jai Gaur Nitai. So this disciple, he was very much surprised to see this. Just a minute ago, we saw a different face of Prabhupada and over here we are seeing, what's this? So he gathered some strength, courage to enter inside the room. And the first question he asked, Prabhupada, just now we saw you with so much of rage and anger. And right now I'm seeing you that, you know, you are like a small child rocking on your bed and chanting Jai Gaur Nitai. And Prabhupada said that an ocean on its surface might appear very turbulent, but if you go deep within it, it is the most calm and quiet and serene place. Prabhupada just spoke that and the disciple understood that actually a pure devotee is like that. That sometimes on the surface level might appear to be very angry, very turbulent, but deep within, because he is so much in connection with Krishna, he is actually shant, ata eva shant. So over here we see that the Prachetas and Narad Muni, both of these personalities, they, in one sense, they exhibited this one feature of the Supreme Lord of being inconceivable for our mundane senses to understand. But actually, we see that what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, that devotees like Narad Muni, they are completely independent and they are completely unbiased. So how can we comprehend sometimes such apparent contradiction seen in the Supreme Lord and in the pure devotees? By developing our faith. It is just our faith. No logic and reasoning can work over here. Just like we were speaking about the contradictory qualities of the Supreme Personality of God. With any logic and reasoning, how can we understand that the Supreme Lord is the beginning of everything, yet He is the cause of everyone's death? He is inside, He is outside, He is walking, yet He is at one place. So with our logic and reasoning, we cannot ever comprehend these qualities of the Supreme Lord. It's just faith. Just like for the sense gratifiers, when they engage in an act of sense gratification, they know with their logic and reasoning that this act of sense gratification is not good for me. It is deadly. It is costly. It's going to pay me heavily. But because of that pleasurable aspect involved in that sense gratification, all that logic and reasoning is, you know, driven out. Like all the smokers, they know about the statutory warning. In fact, now every cigarette stick they are writing, cigarette smoking is injurious to health, so that when the smoker is smoking, it's not just on the pack it is written, because they understood that they take out the cigarette and, you know, they throw off the pack or they put the pack in their back pocket. So every cigarette stick is now written with that statutory warning. So all the smokers know about that. with all the logic and reasoning, they know that this is harmful for them. But because the pleasure is involved in that, so all the logic and reasoning is driven out. So similarly, we can see in the case of pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, when that love and faith develops, then all the logic and reasoning is, you know, driven out, or it doesn't have any value. The overwhelming experience of love unto the Supreme Lord and faith unto the Supreme Lord, it just suffuses one's consciousness so much with that pure love that any logic and reasoning doesn't work. So, therefore we give this example that devotional service is like a combination lock. Like in the banks they have these security vaults wherein they have, you know, these safe. It has two levers. One moves in the clockwise direction and one moves in the anti-clockwise direction. So similarly, yes, the Supreme Lord's mercy and the Supreme Lord's compassion is there upon all of us. But unless we develop that faith and love unto the Supreme Lord, unless we have our own liver working properly, the other liver will not work. So it's like that combination lock or like this security vault. So therefore, devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they explain in the purport so wonderfully that when we read about the prachetas who are offering such nice prayers to the Supreme Lord and then they are burning off the trees, and when we read about Narad Muni that he is receiving all that welcome given by prachetas, when the same personality, he apparently cursed the twin sons of Kuvera when they didn't respect him. Actually, they are doing it out of their gentle compassion for the conditioned living entities. So we'll stop here. Is there any questions anyone has? Any comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.